exam. Having grown up in Pittsburgh, I also took the bar exam in Pennsylvania. I also took the bar in Nevada, where I was living at the time. I got the results from Nevada first. I had failed the bar. Then I learned that I had failed the bar in Pennsylvania, too. When I asked about the results from the bar in Texas, I was told that, since I was no longer a resident of that state, the exam was nullified. At first, I didn't feel too bad. Plenty of successful lawyers need more than one attempt to pass state bar exams, so I took the Nevada exam again in 1978, and again in 1979. Each time I failed, I felt a little more embarrassed. Despite my tenacity, I began to question my future in my chosen career, and my self-confidence became shaky. This could have been the end of the story right there. Many people would have moved on, written off thousands of hours of study and effort, and tens of thousands of dollars worth of education. Luckily for me, I had the support of people who believed in me and in my talents and encouraged me to look for a reason for these failures. The turning point for me came one night over dinner with an old friend from law school. "It doesn't make sense," he was saying. "I've seen you coach people through these same exams. You know this material cold. I can't understand why you haven't been able to pass." And then he suggested something radical. What if my failure on these tests wasn't a lack of knowledge, but a lack of ability in taking the test itself? He urged me to contact a doctor in California who specialized in the diagnosis and treatment of learning disabilities. Today, the diagnosis and treatment of dyslexia is common. But for me, as an adult in the early 1980s, to learn that there was a reason for my poor test results was a major enlightenment. Years of embarrassment lifted away as I began to understand my inability to perform on multiple-choice exams. I remained in California with my wife and infant son and worked with professionals to master strategies that allowed me to cope with my dyslexia. In 1980, I returned to Las Vegas and petitioned the State Bar Association for a special accommodation in retaking the exam. When they said no, I prepared a petition to the state Supreme Court, arguing that I was being discriminated against. I became the first person to plead before the Nevada Supreme Court that my learning disability was just that, a disability, as real as any other legally recognized impediment. I argued that people in my situation required special accommodations when taking the exam. My argument was successful. The Supreme Court ruled that I could take the test using a proctor, who would mark the multiple-choice answers as verbally dictated by me. On my fifth try, in 1980, I passed the Nevada bar exam. My 4 years of struggle taught me a valuable lesson. I knew firsthand how easy it could be to fall through the cracks, to be left behind, and to be stymied by the system. I also knew how fortunate I had been. I had a working knowledge of the system that was screwing me. I had emotional support. I had access to people who could help me navigate through a maze of petitions and appeals. At the same time, I realized there were many, many people who did not have this insight, who were intimidated by the complexities of our legal system. Maybe because I had to fight so hard to begin my career, I've always felt that it's up to those of us who have been blessed with an understanding of the legal system and the financial wherewithal to challenge the Goliaths in these cases, to speak for those who do not have the means or the emotional strength to do it themselves. The public has yet to fully recognize the extent to which people are getting screwed. In my opinion, it's an epidemic. This book will sound the alarm. It has long been a personal calling to stand up for the proverbial underdogs. In my legal work, I have championed the little guys, from kids with special learning needs wronged by their school systems, to elderly citizens exploited by their caregivers at home or in nursing homes. In my office, in the courtroom, and on both local and national television and radio, I have tried for decades to educate the masses on how the system works and how it could work so much better. People get screwed all the time. We'll take this cause to a new level. I believe with all my heart that if all of us increase our awareness of the problems and are willing to work to be heard, change can and will happen. I am also looking to those in positions of power, those at the top of the heap, from the bench, to legislators, to bar associations, to us as lawyers, to effect changes that will right these wrongs in the system. I strongly believe that we as experts have a responsibility to help those in more disadvantaged positions.